you have ever gone to court? Gone to court? Jury duty? I have not had jury duty. We need to pray for Monica. She's on the grand jury this year. So she will have, Jim has done that. So Monica will have opportunity to help mitigate justice and also will be exposed to a lot of injustice. So keep her in your prayers. How about traffic tickets? Yeah. Civil court? I've been to court a couple of times, sometimes to support people going through things. I've never had to be a witness, but I was there for support for someone going through domestic violence and a couple of parental hearings. So when our legal system works well, it's a justice system. But sadly, it can also be and often is an injustice system. Maybe you have experienced injustice yourself or witnessed injustice in court. Today, Jesus faces multiple hearings in which the justice system fails. He goes to local court, he goes to federal court, he goes to temple court, and at every hearing, Jesus faces more and more injustice. Still, our just God works even in the midst of injustice. Jesus' first hearing is at the high priest's house. He's held there in custody, and his first injustice is experiencing police brutality. He's held by the temple guards. They beat him, they blindfold him, they mock him. Sadly, abuse by prison guards still exists today. Both here in the U.S. and around the world, prisoners are abused. The majority of those who committed and ordered war crimes in Guantanamo prison have never been brought to justice and probably never will. We need to pray for those who are abused by jailers. Some of you may remember the story of Mahsa Amini. You probably do not know her name, but she was the 22-year-old Iranian woman who died suspiciously in police custody. Remember, you may have heard it on the news that she was arrested by the religious authorities for not properly wearing her hijab, and very shortly after, turned up dead. But our just God works in the midst of injustice. Because of her death, women and even men in Iran have been questioning Islam. Many have now completely rejected it altogether. And some of them, in their search for truth, have found Jesus, making Iran the fastest growing church in the world. Persecution, even of a fellow Muslim, has fueled the growth of the church. There's so much growth in Iran that they need more leaders to help disciple all the new Christians. So let us pray for the church in Iran. Then when the sun peeked over the horizon, Jesus' hearings began. After suffering in the darkness, he is now brought before the Sanhedrin. We know from the other gospel that many false witnesses were first brought in to testify against Jesus. Sadly, today there are still cases where false witnesses still cause harm. A lot of this takes place in custody battles where a vengeful parent or grandparent spouts lies about another parent. Loving parents end up deprived of their children, and it is the children who lose most. But God's justice is greater than man's injustice. Many of you may be familiar with the case of Walter McMillan, who was on death row for 6 years before he was finally exonerated. His story is told in the book and in the movie Just Mercy. Three false witnesses got him sent there. They testified that he had murdered a young white woman. And even though multiple witnesses corroborated McMillan's alibi that he was at a fish fry at the time of the murder, he was convicted on the basis of false witness testimony. But a young lawyer, Brian Stevenson, investigated his case and found suppression of evidence. It took 6 years, but McMillan's sentence was finally overturned, and that case was the beginning of Brian Stevenson forming his organization, the Equal Justice Initiative. This wonderful organization has helped improve prison conditions, overturn unjust sentences, has fought for fairness in sentencing, and helps keep minors out of adult prison. He has worked with communities and to recognize and remember lynching victims. God can bring justice from injustice. I've had the privilege of hearing Brian speak. He lives his Christian faith, working to eradicate systemic poverty and dismantle structural racism. Though he's not a Presbyterian, he's a Baptist, he recognizes that this kind of work is the work of Jesus, because Matthew 25 is not a Presbyterian thing. This is the work that Jesus has called him and equipped him to do. Let's pray for the ongoing work of the Equal Justice Initiative. The injustice for Jesus was not over. The next injustice that Jesus faced was injustice for telling the truth. Still before the Sanhedrin, when asked if he was the Son of God, Jesus replied, "Yes, I am." It's absolutely true. And even though it is, he is condemned by the religious leaders for blasphemy instead of being received as the Messiah for whom they should have been looking. When I think of those who today face injustice for telling the truth, I think of some of our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world, those who boldly share the truth of the gospel in the face of the loss of homes, the loss of jobs, the loss of families, the loss of community, and the loss of their own lives. But God's justice is greater than human injustice. I think, for example, of Pierre Lassan and his wife, who were kicked out of the family compound in the country of Burkina Faso after they left Islam for Jesus, because Pierre Lassan saw his brother healed in the name of Jesus. When he started telling others about Jesus, he was kicked out of this community. Though life was challenging for him, having to move from place to place to find work, Pierre felt a call to ministry. In 2001, he became a pastor and returned to his home village to preach. In 2019, that village was attacked by an ISIS-associated group, and his family, along with other Christian families, pastors in particular, were targeted. His family managed to escape, as did many other villagers in the area, but he now lives in a refugee camp, sharing his small home with 20 other people besides his family of 10. He continues to share the gospel despite ongoing violence, but many people are coming to Christ because of his faithfulness. Formerly Muslim neighbors again have seen the violence of these ISIS-associated groups and have turned away from Islam to the truth of Jesus Christ. Let's pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters, for Pastor Lassan and his family, especially those in Burkina Faso facing persecution. The next injustice that Jesus faces is from the local government. Though Jesus is brought to Pilate, Pilate dismisses the complaints and sends Jesus to Herod instead, the puppet king of the Jews who is submissive to Rome. Herod is excited to hear what Jesus would say and to see what Jesus would do. After all, he is the one who had used John the Baptist as a source of entertainment before being trapped into having him executed. But Jesus refuses to perform for Herod. He says nothing. So once again, he is mocked. He's dressed in a royal robe and sent back to Pilate. Most local injustice comes through civil courts. During COVID, many businesses, including bars, were shut down. Now, I'm not a fan of bars, but I do support the rights of small business owners to make a living. But in order to help bar owners, the state said, we'll buy back the liquor from you at wholesale price. However, they were not reimbursed for the tax that they would have to have, that they paid, and still had to renew their licenses with no income being shut down. And if you remember, the shutdown for bars was a lot longer than other places. Though shutdowns in general harmed many small businesses and resulted in the closure of so many. Speaking of injustices against small businesses, many large corporations that promise a certain number of jobs are offered huge tax incentives to come into an area. Many times these large businesses close within just a few years after hurting small businesses that can't compete with the tax breaks that the big guys have gotten in order to have their low prices. Empty buildings subsidized by local taxpayers are all that remain when these businesses close. Remind you of anything around here in Havelock? But God's justice is greater than man's local injustice. In Houston, a group called Food Not Bombs has been feeding the homeless for 20 years. Last year, members were ticketed anywhere from $50 to $2,000 by the city for feeding people outside of a public library. The organization has refused to pay, and the city has continued to ticket and has decided to take these people to court. Food Not Bombs continues to feed the homeless, but one by one, the cases against the individuals have been dismissed. The city has yet to win a single case. Most recently, the case has had to be rescheduled again because no jurors have been found who are willing to convict people for feeding the homeless. Even though this is not a Christian organization, feeding the hungry and caring for homeless is doing the work of Jesus. And of course, there are many individual Christians within that organization serving. You see, God can use anyone to do his work. Let's pray that this case is dismissed once and for all. Finally, Jesus faces injustice from what we would call the federal court, Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate represents the Roman Empire. He has the supreme authority in the region, and he knows that Jesus is innocent. He's tried to dismiss the case multiple times and has failed. He's even offered to release Jesus in honor of the Passover, but the crowd cries instead for Barabbas to be released. Pilate thinks, I'll just get away with a lesser injustice by punishing Jesus and having him flogged. So he orders Jesus to be scourged, hoping that that will be enough to appease the crowd. Scourging was a normal precursor to Roman crucifixion. So we can assume that the other two men on the cross with Jesus had been scourged as well. By the time one has endured scourging, the person is already in a state of shock or close to it. The person who has been scourged has had incredible blood loss, We think of Jesus' bloodlust on the cross, but a lot of it happened when he was whipped. And it results in severe muscle damage. 39 lashes was said to be a lash away from death. Matthew's gospel tells us that after the scourging, Jesus suffered the additional pain and humiliation, once again, of being mocked, beaten with a reed, spat upon, having his beard pulled out, and a crown of thorns pressed on his head. In addition, he was made to wear a scarlet robe, and I can imagine that having clothes on you after having your skin raw is not a good feeling. Pilate brings out the bloody, battered, beaten Jesus once again before the crowd, but they still insist on crucifixion. Pilate washes his hands, refusing to take responsibility for the evil he is doing, and sends Jesus away to be crucified. Jesus suffers the ultimate injustice at the hands of the highest court of his day, the Roman government. Like Pilate, we see governments today refusing to take any responsibility for the harms that they have done. You can turn on the TV any day, CNN, or what's the court one, not CNN, the court news every day, and they'll show the congressional hearings day after day after day after day. And I've listened to so many of these. But no one ever goes to jail. Almost no one ever loses their jobs, or if they might get demoted, but almost no one. Something. One of the cases right now to watch closely in this coming year is Amos Miller versus the U.S. Amos Miller is an Amish organic farmer whom the state of Pennsylvania has come after for selling raw milk products in particular, claiming that his food is unsafe, and they're trying to shut down his entire farm. Thankfully, he has a very good lawyer. Miller doesn't even sell to the public. It's a private co-op. You have to pay to join in and then buy products that way. Not a single person has ever gotten sick from Mr. Miller's food. And when tested, all of his food has come back clean. No salmonella, no none of the other things, and the listeria in two products was so small that it's not even considered significant. Which is, when we know this is not the case, every week it seems like there's something being recalled for some kind of contamination. This has never happened with Mr. Miller's farm. But the ruling on this case will have implications for co-ops across the country and small private farms, especially organic ones. Co-ops like Community Share Agriculture or the Carteret Local Food Network, for which I used to be a part when I was serving at Grace Presbyterian and we had a community garden. Let's pray for Amos Miller and his attorney. But God's justice is greater than federal justice. Even though it's incredibly difficult for people to win against the federal government, God is not blind to injustice. It is God who raises up leaders and deposes them. It is God who allows nations to flourish or fail. Jesus was radically failed by the earthly justice system. This system ordained by God was created to punish evildoers and to protect the innocent. Jesus was as innocent as one could be, especially in the crime of blasphemy. He was and is God, the Father's beloved Son. He has the right to speak for God, for he is indeed God. He was under no obligation to submit to earthly authority, and yet he wasn't aggressively rebellious against those in power. He didn't institute insurrection. His kingdom is subversive, working within and despite earthly authorities. Though it seemed injustice prevailed as Jesus was sent away to be hung on the cross, ultimate justice was about to happen. Jesus' innocence would be proven when he rose again from the dead. And we have to remember that Jesus' suffering of injustice was not for himself. It was for us. It was we who should have taken the punishment. For unlike Jesus, we are not innocent. We are guilty before the ultimate judge, the holy, righteous God Almighty. We have broken God's laws time and time again, but Jesus took our place. So we don't have to stand under condemnation anymore. Jesus suffered the death penalty so that we do not have to die. The Apostle Peter wrote in his first letter, "Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, might live in righteousness, for by his stripes we are healed." God's justice, brought about through Jesus' suffering under the earthly injustice system, frees us to live without fear of death. It assures us that since the grossest injustice system, suffering under the earthly injustice system, frees us to live without fear, assures us that since the grossest injustice has been overcome, Jesus' own injustice has been overcome. The worst of all injustices. Any injustice we face will also be one day rectified by God. As people acquitted by God through Jesus Christ, we are called to work for justice until he comes. Let us pray. Oh God, you created the justice system to punish evil and to protect the innocent. And yet, Jesus, you suffered the worst injustice. You know that our earthly justice system fails and fails badly, for you experienced it. So when we face injustice, you know exactly what that's like. But what you went through was worse, so much worse. But you overcame injustice and fulfilled God's justice. So we don't have to have justice. We have mercy and grace. We don't get what we deserve. We get life. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, because you know, you call us to work for justice. And so we pray. We pray for Monica today with her work on the grand jury. We pray for prisoners who are abused by jailers. We pray that prisoners would have a change of heart, that prison guards would have a change of heart. We pray for the church in Iran that is thriving as a result of an injustice that was committed. We pray that more and more would come to know Jesus, and we pray that you would raise up leaders to disciple all of these believers. Lord, we pray for those who are facing injustice because of false witnesses. We pray that the truth would win. Lord, we thank you for the work of the Equal Justice Initiative, for Brian Stevenson and those who work for him. We pray that this organization would continue to grow and thrive and help bring justice to those who have been sentenced unfairly, especially those who are in prison innocently. And thinking of that, Lord, we also pray for those who face injustice for telling the truth. We think of our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world, specifically right now for those in the country of Burkina Faso. We pray for Pastor Pierre Lassonde and his wife, who are courageously still sharing the gospel. And we thank you that more and more people are coming to Jesus. Lord, we pray for those who face injustice from local governments. We pray that your justice would come. We think in particular of Food Not Bombs in Houston, that the case against them would be thrown out altogether because feeding the homeless is not a crime. It is your work. Lord, we pray for those who face injustice from federal governments. And we think particularly of Amos Miller and his lawyer, and we pray for justice in his case. We pray for protection of farms. Lord, help us to work for justice in whatever ways that we can. And we pray that our justice system, our legal system, would truly be a justice system and not an injustice system. We thank you, God, that you are just, you are holy, and you're right. And because Jesus overcame the worst of all injustices, we know that one day every wrong will be made right. For you always do what's right. In the holy blood of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our hymn is number 93, All Holy Jesus.